Well, we made it to Friday. How about that?
I think I'll characterize it as we blew into Friday here.
Woo!
That wind is whipping.
Welcome to the program we call What's on Your Mind?
Because we want to know what's on your mind.
I'm Scott Henn. Kevin Flynn is here. Super producer is Chris Larson. We're going to talk to Rob Kupek, the state senator from Minnesota's District 4, about a couple of things in the news. To his credit, Rob Kupek is joining us now on a regular rotation, so at least to get a chance monthly to catch up with him, which we appreciate. Trying to keep tabs on you-know-who there in Minnesota. What do you think the approval rating of Tim Walz would be in, like St. Cloud East?
Kevin? I can't find anybody that likes him in any circles in the Rock and Cows I associate with in northwest Minnesota. So.
I got to think he's way underwater, approved versus disapproved. But obviously, if they do those studies, or those polls, rather, they're only doing it in the entire state, so you have a great deal of influence. Everything that's wrong with Minnesota politics is called Minneapolis-St. Paul. It just is.
I think it'd be great if we could employ an electoral system statewide, and every county gets one vote. Then we'd see how he does.
Interesting.
If every county got one vote, how about that? But
that's a very interesting idea. So you do it just like you do state by state in the electoral college.
The federal election, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You obviously would need to change the Minnesota Constitution to do that, but I wonder if you could get that done. It'd be interesting. You'd certainly get all of rural Minnesota out. I think a lot of times folks in rural Minnesota in these elections just believe that, the cake is baked.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, the cake is baked. Why go? Which is a terrible approach to go into anything related to political change at all. So anyway, we'll chat with the Senator Kupek coming up on the program. North Dakota congressional candidate Julie Fedorchuk joins us on the program today. One of now five Republicans vying for the lone seat representing the great state of North Dakota in Congress. She and Alex Blaz and Rick Becker were here last Friday for our big debate. So we'll get an update on how the Fedorchuk campaign is coming on.
Her voice is better.
Yeah, she had a little bit
of
a cold.
She was cold.
And a sore throat and frog in her throat the whole debate, which would be tough duty. If you have a question or comment for her, please call us when we chat with her coming up on the program today. You can text us. If you want to get your questions in ahead of time, go for it. 701-367-2054. We're also going to chat with, in our Your Health segment, our friends from Sanford Health and the connoisseur of lutefisk. What do you think of when you think of lutefisk and Norway?
Carol T. Juven,
yeah. He's going to be on the program today, so we're looking forward to that as well. I was in Bismarck last night for a Friends of Ag and Energy gathering, and we have a couple more of those coming up soon. Wahpeton and also Linton, North Dakota. Those are next up on the calendar for Friends of Ag and Energy. We'll be announcing those days and places very soon. But it was interesting. Bismarck has sort of been the epicenter of the opposition to two things, CO2 technology in general, the carbon capture technology being utilized at all, and then a dislike of the pipeline and concerns over the pipeline. And so it's been, a couple of years at least, year and a half that opposition has been there. But we had an event last night and literally about 40 folks against 24. So that it seems to me that you're only left with a very small passionate. I give them credit for being passionate. And they punch above their weight grade when it comes to the amount of tension they get and the noise they make, but it's a small group. And I think that also is evidenced by specific to the one project that's on the drawing board right now in North Dakota related to the CO2 pipeline that 90% of the landowners necessary have signed up. So anyway, we're doing that. We're also going to go to South Dakota in May. Haven't got a May date yet, but we have a South Dakota date as well because of a lot of our South Dakota listeners have been interested in this issue. Our mission with Friends of Ag and Energy is just to make sure every question's answered. So if you have a question about anything, about why do we need to do anything related to CO2 and carbon capture, to is this pipeline safe or is it not, to why were threats of eminent domain made early on in the project, all those questions have been answered because of the forums we've held, and we'll continue to do that. So looking forward to that conversation. Well, that's about it, I guess. We better get to the newsroom, right? Ty Schoenert standing by in the newsroom. Justin Storm in our weather center. And Senator Rob Kupek when we come back on What's on Your Mind. Staff meteorologist Justin Storm from the Flag Weather Center on this chilly and windy day. What are we looking at, sir?
Well, it's going to stay windy through the rest of today with gusts to 30 miles an hour out of the west-northwest. It's going to be cloudy. It's going to be chilly. Temperatures in the 30s to lower 40s. We're also going to see convective snow showers developing throughout this later morning into the afternoon. which will mix with a little rain around the FM metro. Within those snow showers, there will be a few localized areas that do see some reduced visibility down to a half mile from the wind and the snow coming down, at least briefly. Tonight, the snow showers will wind down. It'll be partly cloudy. We'll drop down to low temperatures in the mid-20s, and another breezy day unfortunately follows for Saturday, still gusting to 25, but hey, at least it's sunny tomorrow with a high of 53 degrees, and we're right around 60 with lighter winds and sunny skies on Sunday, Scott.
Check back with you in a little bit about the region-wide forecast. Thank you, Justin.
No problem.
Staff meteorologist Justin Storm, 18 before the top of the hour when we come back. Senator Rob Kupak, Democrat from Moorhead, represents Moorhead and the region in northwest Minnesota here near us, District 4. Senator Rob Kupak, after this. Back on What's on Your Mind, well before the top of the hour, Senator Rob Kupak is here. Represents District 4 and a good chunk of our listening area, northwest Minnesota, the Moorhead area. Senator Kupak, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, good. Good morning from Evansville, Minnesota.
Is that right? What brings you to Evansville?
I'm on my way home. This is just a good stopping off point here.
Oh, good, good, good. Oh, how much longer is left in the session?
We officially, the last date we can be in session is May 20th. So that would be the absolute end. We will probably go to the absolute end.
What is your viewpoint so far in the session? Seems like it'll been a little bit uneventful compared to the last few where there was a lot of hotbed issues. But what's your assessment of this session so far?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. It has been uneventful for the most part. You know, it's not a budget year. So I think budget years obviously bring a lot more things with them when there's a lot more money on the table. But yeah, so there's lots of little things, I would think, going on. You know, it's just kind of moving along.
If you have a question or comment for Senator Kupak, by the way, it's welcome always. 701-271-1100 or text us at 701-237-1590. I was told that you have a bill that is being considered that would waive tuition for peace officers training. Tell me about that.
Yeah, sure. We had a hearing on that earlier this week in the Higher Ed Committee. So basically, you know, there's a couple of things. If you look at, you know, there's job shortages everywhere, right? But what areas of society do we really absolutely need people to make society run? So I would say those areas would be, you know, in our medical profession, in our police, public safety, fire, EMS, teachers, I'd probably throw in that category as well. And so, you know, is there one magic bullet solution to this job shortage? No, but I think, you know, anything that we can do to help is good. So this bill, what it would do is for the skills training that peace officer students have to take, we would waive the tuition for that. So for students in our area who are either at, you know, Minnesota State Community Technical College or MSUM, when they do skills training, they have to go to Alexandria for about 10 weeks. So that's a little bit of a money crunch, inconvenience. They got to find housing down in Alex for 10 weeks. If they're working a job, they have to give up that job for 10 weeks. Can't really find a job for 10 weeks, and skills training is pretty intensive. So we thought, what little thing at least could we do? Give them some tuition relief to help them out there. So that was a good bipartisan bill that went through the committee.
All right. So that's yet to be voted on, but it's out of committee. So that's going to get a vote at some point.
Yeah. So what we've done is we've held it over in committee, and we'll see whether we have, because it does have a fiscal cost to it, obviously, if you're going to pay for tuition, there's money involved. So we'll see if we've been allotted enough budget in the Higher Ed Committee to put it through, and then we put it in a Higher Ed Omnibus Bill.
And then another one related to child care that is specific to institutes of higher education. What is it? What would it cost?
Sure. What we're looking at is primarily at the two-year schools. A lot of the two-year, it's only about, I say a lot, four of the two-year schools in the state have partnered with the Head Start program on the federal level. So there is some federal money that we can tap into on this. Actually, the Minnesota State and their Detroit Lakes campus, they have a Head Start program over there. You know, when I talk to the people over in Detroit Lakes, the city leaders and all, they love that program. It's a good part of the child care mix. So we are looking at about, I think the bill was for about $500,000 to establish more of these at the two-year schools around the state, especially the 2 years. They cater a lot to those non-traditional students, particularly students maybe who have kids. So it makes it easier for them to go to the 2 years if they have some place they can take their kids to right on campus. And then it also would tap into some federal money from the Head Start program.
How much would it cost Minnesotans?
So the price tag on it, I think, is about $500,000 on the Minnesota side.
And you said then there's a match from the feds.
Yeah, there'll be some money that comes in from feds. I don't think it's not quite a one-to-one match, but it allows us to get into the Head Start program that the federal government has.
You have one more I want to ask you about on deer hunting and eliminating shotgun-only zones specific to deer hunting. What's that about?
Yeah, this is a crazy bill. So hunters will know. So in the northern part of the state, you can use rifles to hunt deer. South of a really weirdly arbitrary drawn line, you cannot. And so in my district, for instance, it's Highway 32 in the eastern part of Clay County. So say you live in some place like Hitterdahl. You go to one side of the road, you can use a rifle or a shotgun. And on the other side of the road, you can only use a shotgun. So this is something the DNR actually supports it. The deer hunters have been asking for this for a long time. It was a Republican bill last year that I had signed on to. And they thought, well, maybe we'll have a better chance if we have a DFL member be the lead author. So I've been working with Senator Drazkowski down in the southeast part of the state, who's been a champion for this for years. And so that actually got included in the omnibus bill. There are, five or six counties in the far southern part of the state that, for a variety of reasons, didn't want to be included. But we've got probably almost the entire state now, if it goes through, comes out of conference committee in there. That would be, you could use a rifle basically anywhere in the state. Wisconsin did this about 10 years ago. It's worked out fine. It's time for us to catch up.
Interesting. And is that how it works? If it's a good idea by a Republican, but in a Democratic-led House and Senate and a Democratic governor, there's no chance it passes, so you got to give it to a Democrat? Is that sort of describe the process?
I don't think it's no chance. I mean, so last year, it didn't get a hearing in the committee. We actually amended it on the Senate floor. It's better to give it a hearing. I think sometimes, the party in power maybe has a little bit more persuasion, which depends on the committee chair. But in this case, it did. So it's definitely, it's a good bipartisan bill. I supported it last year and was happy to, take up and be the lead author to move it through. It's kind of a common sense one. So, some of that depends on the chair. Certain chairs seem to have no problem hearing, bills from the other parties. Other ones, maybe it gets a little more partisan and they don't want to hear them.
A couple questions that have come in recently from our listeners. We've been talking a lot to law enforcement officers about hiring and shortages. I mean, I don't think there's, within the sound of my voice, one law enforcement agency that isn't short people right now, and really short. And I forget which chief it was, but explained that it might have even been Mark Empting. But my understanding is, Minneapolis has half the police force it once did. Obviously, those police officers go somewhere. Evidently, a majority of them go out to suburb areas that are paying an extraordinary amount of money to get them, which then in turn makes it difficult for Moorhead, Clay County, any other law enforcement agency. They wanted to know if it was possible for rural Minnesota to be subsidized in some way specific to law enforcement to be able to level the playing field on recruiting law enforcement officers.
Yeah, this is a huge problem. I think actually the Clay County Sheriff doing okay staffing wise, but this is a huge problem for the Moorhead Police Department. We they put in a couple of years here, we train them up really well. It is super enticing, some of the things that they're getting in the suburbs. The calls are easier in a lot of the suburbs, and it's, the vacation packages they're offering, it's sweet. This was part of the idea last year. We gave, $300 million. We called it public safety money to give flexibility to communities. But really the idea was, how can, departments that are having problems retaining, recruiting, to take that money and use it for that. Moorhead's been working on a way to use that $300 million, their share of it, which was about $1 million for the Moorhead Police Department, to take that money and figure out, how can we use that either as a retention bonus or recruitment money. Other departments that haven't had the recruitment problem, they've used it for other things. I know Sheriff Empting says he's, going to use it to actually add a couple of more deputies to the force, and other places where it wasn't so much. You know, other places have used it on fire, EMS, where they've felt appropriate. So that was part of the idea last year. It was a small thing we could do. It's a money thing. It's a, you know, it's a bigger conversation. You know, and I would suspect next year when we get to another budget year, that will be part of the conversation again. How can we get more money to help in that area? But it's going to go beyond money. It's a multi-pronged problem.
Only have a half minute left. Another listener wanted to know if you support the proposals in the Democratic legislature right now to give $6.5 million to Feeding Our Future, a nonprofit that is tied there since there's $250 million in fraud and 70 charges against these guys. Quick answer, if you could.
Sure. Well, Feeding Our Future, that predates me. So we put in last year, after Feeding Our Future came out, we put in a whole bunch of new restrictions and regulations to making sure if we do give money to nonprofits, that it's guided. So I don't think Feeding Our Future is not in line for any more because they're done for. But, you know, we're watching all those.
Welcome back. Thanks for being here. Happy Friday, TGIF. This is the Need to Know Morning Show. It's Kevin Flynn, Alex Taylor on the flag. Dickie Betts, 80 years old, passed away, lost his battle with cancer. He's the guitar genius behind the Allman Brothers Band back in the day. That's two guitars at once playing that, if you ever saw him live.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dickie and their other guitar player would play that exact, all that lick verbatim, the two guitars together. It was pretty cool. Let's see, 8 past 9, or 8 past 8, coming up at 9 past. We're looking at a lot of wind this morning and a little rain-snow mix working.
Oh, yeah, it feels chilly out there.
I haven't seen the radar.
Our high 42, and we've got a 40% chance of rain, snow mix, and cloudy pretty much all day. But good news is we're going to see the sun on the weekend. Saturday's high 52. Sunday, we're going up to 60. And by back to work Monday, looks like a 40% chance of rain again and 59. So, you know, we'll get through today. Weekend will be all right, and then a little more rain must fall.
The radar has got some stuff out to the south. It's kind of moving, I would say, east-southeast out to the southwest of the metro. There's some little bands of stuff. I think that's what he's talking about. It looks like it's going to be, for the most part, to the southern part of the neighborhood. So down towards the, and there's a fair amount up in Winnipeg, or up in Manitoba, I mean, that'll go over the top of us. But there's a great live radar link at am1100theflag.com. Just click on weather. Congrats to Mr. Jim Shear, ninth caller. Got himself. Boy, he's excited.
Oh, he was. That's fun.
He and the missus are going to join us tomorrow night. Jimmy Fail at the Doubletree by Hilton. There will be, right now, tickets available at am1100theflag.com. Just click on buy tickets now. Jimmy Fail, you'll see the banner there. We'd love to have you. Going to be fun. Seats are $40. VIP sold out, but we're going to have some fun. He's doing a little Q&A, too, after the deal.
That's pretty good for a comedy of that caliber, too. $40,
absolutely.
No problem.
He'll be on Hannity tonight at 9. I think 8 o'clock our time is when Hannity comes on. He's got to do Hannity from the Twin Cities, and then he'll be driving up after that. So that's the itinerary, as I understand it, and we'll see him. And driving up on tomorrow morning, so he's hanging in the cities tonight. I guess he knows somebody in Minneapolis. He's hanging out there and then driving up. And he's never made the drive before. So never been to this part of the world very much. So pretty excited to get
lots of flats to look at.
Yeah. Hey, we're brought to you by our friends at Beverage Wholesalers, who remind you, doesn't matter whatever beverage you're raising, be it in a can, a glass, or a bottle. Making a toast, are you? Toasting a birthday, maybe a wedding? Just take a quick second and say, if you don't mind, let's throw in law enforcement, our military, our veterans, and our first responders. No one will have a problem with that. Just saying.
Exactly.
And, where do you want to start with great products that Beverage Wholesalers puts on the shelf of your local liquor store? The latest one of the Fresca, the vodka cocktails in a can. Oh my! The Voodoo Ranger hard teas as well. Some of these you gotta check your numbers. Just say they'll sneak up on you.
Oh, it can.
Those taste like, how about a Fresca? Yeah, the variety pack's delicious. I think of all of them, I like the new orange citrus the best. But be it a champagne, a beers, Miller High Life, or all of the great Shiner, Leinenkugel, New Belgium, go down the list of the busy, all the great products that Beverage Wholesalers distributes, please include our big four. Law enforcement, military, veterans, first responders, when you make a toast. Thanks, Beverage Wholesalers. Okay, we've got some TiVo to get to. Let's get a few texts in here. Because there's a bunch of them. Hey, guys, I'm offended. My uncle was really eaten by cannibals. And for Joe Biden to make up a story really irks me. I don't want to laugh, but
we can't offend anyone anymore.
You're kidding,
so.
Right?
No.
I mean,
if
you're not kidding, I'd like to know more.
He's kidding.
My uncle was killed at Guadalcanal, Joe. My uncle died in World War II at Guadalcanal. John Francis Flynn. Anything to say about that? No cannibals there. Does Trump really need to go out and campaign? I think most people will be voting for him with or without them.
He kind of does. You know, in the swing states especially, he needs to be there.
Yeah, he's not really a secret, though, right? I mean, I think at this point, anybody whose opinion has been made. I don't know. Hopefully he can do. I think what he's going to do is brilliant. He's going to campaign, you know, in a circle out from New York as far as he can go to be able to be back in court the next day. And he can do out and backs up and down the states where he needs. He can do out and backs. He just has to be in the courtroom. He owns a plane. So I would imagine he's working up quite a schedule. Who's the VP, though?
He hasn't announced yet.
Who's going to be?
I don't know.
That's my big, I'm just waiting. Come on. Someone typed this massive word. It looks like a Biden word. Under pressure. Sharp as a what? I could go. I got a whole bay of audio of Joe Biden here. We could spend an hour playing all this stuff.
And it's illegible. You can't hear it. It makes no sense. So, no point.
One of my favorites is this.
And Joan Shingang, Shanga Kowawa.
Yeah, that's their guy, right?
And I think she was dead. All right, I mean, she wasn't even there. Oh, boy. Biden started ordering a milkshake and then got distracted with a box. It was later revealed that his entire visit to the Wawa was staged.
Yeah.
Workers were caught on camera scripting his visits and even preparing the cashier's tip.
Yep.
For the cashier's tip. The visit looked much different than Trump's visit to Chick-fil-A, where he was greeted by tons of excited supporters and people of color telling him how much they love him.
Oh, yeah.
And the girl even getting a hug, which was fantastic. Texter says, your man says he needs to campaign as those of us who love Trump need to convince others to go to the that side. Yeah, he does need to campaign. He will. This thing will be over before you know. And again, he owns a plane. He'll be.
I don't know where he finds the energy, though, with all of this stuff. You know, it's just got a weigh on him, but he hides it well.
Well, you know, I think he thrives on it. You know, from what we've heard, I mean, the guy sleeps like 5-6 hours a night. Or, you know,
oh, yeah, when he was president, he was up tweeting at like 4 a.m.
Yeah, and this weekend at Bernie's thing has just gotten way past ridiculous watching this. Straight out of the government right here, we are going down, freedom going away. Please research this, and there's a link to some audio there. I will listen to that and do that. You know, we're going down. Well, yeah, we've definitely dropped, but I don't think we're beat. I refuse to believe that. Truth Social link. Thank you for that. I'll check that. We'll check that out. Do you have any tickets for Jimmy for military families? I don't know. I would imagine if I ran that up the flagpole, so to speak, we could probably get a discount. Text me a name and number. Oh, I got a number. All right, never mind. I got a number. I'll reach out. I'll figure out. McDonald's just not sounded really sure of yourself, and I don't understand the McDonald's one. Thank you. Join the army, and you will eat powdered eggs every morning. Proudly served. There you go. U.S. Army 78 through 82. Trucker Dean checking in. Yeah, I've had powdered eggs. They're not that bad.
Yeah, I have.
We used them at the old Sheridan way back in the day, making buffet eggs.
Sure.
Those you'll see them.
Now nice and smooth, no lumps.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, the flake, the dehydrated potatoes and stuff like that. Rhinos make Republicans dysfunctional.
That's true. Well, there's a lot of them.
That is very true. Crazy how these universities are holding pro-terrorist rallies, chanting death to America, and in the same breath asking their student loans to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm. And yet the J6ers were insurrectionists and caused no harm, no damage. Yeah.
Can't even. Link to Fox News link. Biden admin set to block millions of acres from oil and gas drilling in Earth Day action. Oh, they're doing a little environmental, little green thing, are they? Yeah. I will check that out. Not using devices explains how Selleck still has his hair and the greatest mustache since Teddy Roosevelt. I suppose, yeah. Why would that? If you don't use the devices, you get better hair.
Radiation, probably.
Oh, is that the thing?
Probably.
It says here, not using the, yep, it's. Yeah. Okay, got that one done. Alex, Ilhan Omar's daughter with her brother is your line of the day.
Why, thank you. I was just curious. I'm like, huh, what daughter?
Friday great.
The daughter with her brother? You know, that was her first marriage. She'd be about that old.
Yeah. That's funny. Let's see here. We got another one. Screenshot. Oh, it's a bunch of cannibals. Because what's for dinner? Biden's uncle, apparently.
Ew.
Boy, let the cannibal memes begin. They will be everywhere. With
oh, them. Yeah.
What happened to Jim the flagpole guy? Nothing. Jim is rocking. Jim, the thing is that he had to dial back all of the advertising and the stuff because his business, thanks to you and our friends across the region, especially with What's on Your Mind, his business blew up. I've never seen anything like it. I got to hang out with him in his new location in South in Mandan. When he started, it was like, you know, him and an idea, and he wants to do nice flagpoles, and all of a sudden, boom, he's got 40 orders, and he had 60 orders, and he had 300 orders, and he just became completely... so he has to he's catching up. If you want to get on
that's
his...
That's a good
his,
problem to have.
It is a great problem to have. But he is still there, usflagpoleguy.com. Just ndflagpoleguy.com, either one of them. It's basically, and if you want a flagpole, if you want his work, you're going to have to kind of wait. He's got to, like everybody now, especially after COVID, he's got a full calendar. And man, he does great work. He made time for us, so to come over and upgrade our flagpole at the flag so we could fly a bigger one. That's pretty cool. Let's see here. Kev, you could have T-shirts with the letters KJP, BS-DS. Now, there you go. Dipstick, BSing dipstick. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you lie like that. Just with...
Constantly. No. How do you keep them all straight?
I know. You have a binder, I guess.
There you go. A binder of lies.
And never really say anything, I think, would be the other answer. Never really answer anything, you know, just a lot of the work this president is doing is so important. It's, you know, it's really unprecedented. It's incredible. The incredible work, the incredible time that these amazing people, they use all these keywords. And it's like, did she answer the question? No.
Never.
Kev, Alex, I hope you both have a wonderful weekend. God bless. Right back at you. Thank you for
appreciate
and
that.
We always get a lot of love on the texts. Thanks for hanging with us. We couldn't do this without you, so love you more. Okay, what do I got to get in here? Got to let you know Moxie Java is our official coffee. Got the Moxie Java, got the Colombian roast going this week. Dark roast. My dark Colombia roast Moxie Java goes good with creamer. That's kind of me, though. I like... I
got to have the creamer, too. I don't like
it
black.
I like the creamer. It changed the coffee game for me.
Can't do it black.
If I have to, I will. If I have to, I will.
I can't.
But I'd rather have a little something, yeah.
Yep.
But if you're at the West Acres or at the Lights, the drive-thru's open at 5:30. Moxie's got her open there. And moxiejava.com, you can read about the team. Family, locally owned and operated. Just the two locations. It's not a big franchise thing. And definitely not all woke. Okay, they're awesome. When you're at the West Acres, hit the kiosk right by Halberstadt's there. Or, like I said, 5:30, Joe Coffee App will have your beverage waiting for you. You can pick up your beans or your grounds, too. They'll have them waiting for you at the drive-thru, just like I do. We brew at home.
Yep.
We're up way earlier than before they're open, unless we're out in the neighborhood. I do have to go to Halberstadt's, and I'm going to swing by there. I got to get an alteration done. I lost a little weight, but...
Oh, awesome.
We got this wedding coming up the end of May, so I have my pants. I get to have my pants, and the first time I can remember my life taken in a little bit.
Might want to get some elastic just in case they go back the other way.
Leave them because winter's coming. You never know.
A guy needs a little room in there, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just leave them.
You anyway, might want you to.
Thank you to our friends at Moxie Java. All right. We will get a break in here. And last, we got TiVo. One more, couple more.
We got TiVo. And we got Justin standing by with the weather. So, yeah, lots to do yet.
Yep. Put a fork in it next. Need to know morning show on the flag. Be right back. There it is. Oh, man. I'm kind of bummed. We're losing so many of the greats. Dickie Betts.
We are.
Was Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Lost his battle with cancer. He was 80 years old. Founding member of the Allman Brothers Band. Boy, he was kind of a big backbone, a big part of that band. I mean, although Greg and Dwayne got all until Dwayne died, got all the accolades.
Well, Greg married Cher.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Oh,
they got a son together who's in and out of rehab all the time.
But there was Dickie Betts writing the songs and singing their biggest hit ever. Rest in peace, brother. We got to check the forecast. Brought to you by Cass County Electric. Great website, great resource for saving you some money on your energy costs, and a great app. Your customer, you can pay your bill, check your usage with it. Or at CassCountyElectric.com. Windy one this morning, buddy. Mm-hmm. Now, again, wrong year to not have a sailboat or something.
It's never too late, Kev.
Wind turbine. Yeah, not put up a wind turbine. When's it going to die down?
Yeah, we won't see the wind dying down until we head after dark. So it'll be a breezy, windy afternoon for us. We're going to mix in some scattered snow showers around the area. That'll mix a little bit with some rain from time to time around the FM Metro. Temperatures today are going to be in the upper 30s to low 40s with wind gusting to or a little stronger than 30 miles per hour at times out of the west-northwest. You mix that in with some of those snow showers that will be moderate at times. You will get a little bit of reduced visibility in spots throughout the course of the day. Tonight, lighter winds, mid-20s. We're in the low 50s for your Saturday afternoon. Sunny skies, a little breezy, but lighter winds and just as sunny on Sunday. Highs in the upper 50s, near 60.
I am looking forward to sunshine, that's for sure.
It's
looks
be nice.
Yes, ma'am.
Pretty gray today.
Get away from the wind. Man, it's a windy week, too.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah,
what are you going to do? Complain.
That's
well,
what we can do.
You know, and I think the fire numbers are still way up, too. So
oh,
if you're
sure.
thinking about that, with the rain, it does help. But anybody doing any burning, make sure you're, you know, got the permits or whatever you need if you're doing it. Thanks, amigo. Appreciate
no
it. Let's see, 27 after 8. We're all caught up on texts, I think. Let me just make sure. Yes, we are. Emails, we're caught up. Let's. You want to roll Trump or you want to do Laura?
No, let's go with Lara Trump.
Okay.
She was on with Newsmax, and she was criticizing the venue selection for Trump's latest sham trial, you know, in New York City.
Yeah.
But she says the donations are rolling in.
Right.
Yeah, well, they know, Rob, if they actually move this trial to any other area of this country, maybe save for like a San Francisco of sorts, yeah, you would possibly get a fair trial. And let alone, this wouldn't even see the light of day. You have to think about the fact that this is a case where they're alleging that there was some sort of an accounting error. There was somebody who wrote down in an accounting ledger the wrong information. And that is why they are holding hostage Donald Trump, the former president and current Republican nominee, in a courtroom. This has never been about anything that is fair. We all know that. This is about making sure that they can keep Donald Trump off the campaign trail. This is about making sure that for any American who might think about voting for him, hey, you better think twice. Here's a picture of Donald Trump in a courtroom. And yeah, if they could throw him in jail and lock him up, great. That's what they're all gunning for. But you see the way that people are responding here, Rob.
Right.
The American people are not buying it. The campaign in the 3 days that Donald Trump has been forced to sit in that courtroom raised $3 million, $26 yeah increments and in those donations. It means people are behind him and they're not buying it.
They're not buying it. We're not buying it. And it's just upsetting, though, that he has to go through this.
Yeah, but he gets it. You know, sadly, it's just one of those is what it is things. And we understand is what it is. All right, fine. You know, you have, again, you're not, they're hoping to change, you know,
oh,
somehow,
yeah, but
change minds. And
his numbers just go up. The more they persecute him, the more they come after him. His numbers go up, the donations go up, and people aren't having this.
Well, you know, at some point, if you're throwing the game and you're still not winning, you gotta quit. I mean, all right, we're out, we're forfeit or whatever.
They don't. They
double
down. They don't. They make up even more ridiculous lies. You'd think they would if they were normal thinking people, but they're not. They're obsessed.
And that's what's not sustainable. They're not normal thinking people. So
it's like they're all on The View.
Yeah. Yeah. Texter says, no one left to run with anymore. Allman Brothers, good song. I'll tee it up. You got it. As we get into what's on your mind. Scotty's up next. We got to roll.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, have a great weekend. And we'll see you at Jimmy Fallon Saturday night.
Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Doubletree. Tickets at am1100theflag.com. Get them. Love to have you there. All right, Scotty's up next. Got to go see him.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to What's on Your Mind. I'm Scott Hennon. Kevin Flynn is here. Justin Storm from the Flag Weather Center momentarily to tell you about our weather scene. Open phone Friday time. Let her rip. What's on your mind today? Let's talk about it. 701-271-1100. We do have some news about how Israel has responded to Iran's attacks. And now Iran is warning that the response to Israel will be decisive. So here we go. The back and forth is underway, and we're watching that very, very closely. State media, of course, in Iran is downplaying the explosions in Iran that came from the attacks from Israel. But then they also say they're going to respond decisively. So it was a nothing burger, but we're going to respond decisively. Meanwhile, on college campuses nationwide, we have people self-identifying as supporters of Hamas. Hamas, one of the worst of the worst. ISIS-like, Al-Qaeda-like, and those proudly responsible for what happened on October 7th of these people invading Israel and going home to home, village to village, raping, going to a music fest, mutilating, killing young, old.
They were, you know what they were doing?
That's Hamas.
They were executing the River to the Sea thing.
Yeah, they were.
That's what they were doing. Yeah. I mean, they only got so far into the music festival before they couldn't do any more. But that was maybe that was the kickoff to the River to the Sea, Palestine will be free party.
How do you say you identify with Hamas? Now, I get some bleeding heart is going to say, you know, oh, I mean, I want a ceasefire. I think everybody wants a ceasefire. But I also want Israel to defend itself. And by the way, last time I checked, Hamas still has hostages. So if they wanted a ceasefire, maybe they would release hostages.
You know what's funny? And Jimmy Fallon points this out all the time, too. If this was a genocide, you know, what, 20 or 2 million Muslims live in Israel? Actually, I mean, so if Israel was pulling off a genocide against the Palestinians and Muslims, what about the ones that are living in Israel? So, not that at all.
No, the other thing that the other thing I think is amazing is you got a Democratic Party that lives and feeds off identity politics. Okay.
Oh.
And
absolutely.
You know, Black America, you are out of luck if you don't go for everything the Democrats want. They're looking out for you, by golly, and they feel your pain, and they are going to.
Remember
record lows in unemployment, particularly for African Americans and Hispanic workers and veterans. You know, and workers without high school diplomas.
Wow. You know, all the people of color that couldn't graduate high school.
So they love segmenting us into different buckets and the identity politics game and pandering. This is the worst kind of pandering to every subset of the human race.
They live for it.
But they don't seem to want to stand up for the Israelis. Why are they, they're selectively doing their identity politics thing?
Well,
how much have they talked about DEI all the racism that happens? What is happening in America, I might add, on college campuses, for crying out loud?
Come on. You got to consider the source here. They have no concept of history. We've talked about this before. They couldn't tell you when the Civil War was, but somehow they think Israel is an occupier. They think Israel is the interloper here, which couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, learn your history. Go back to the Ottoman Empire, the Byzantines. Go back to we're talking thousands of years of Israeli persecution. Think back to having to part the Red Sea. What was that all about? Okay. So none of this is new. And the fact that these people in Columbia and the rest of these campuses are going off on this proves to anybody with a brain that you don't have one or you're not using it very well.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. Ilhan Omar has been leading the charge on the on the Columbia front to talk about anti-Semitic. It's just unbelievable.
See, your daughter got arrested.
Yeah, I did. Talk about that and anything else you want to talk about. Joe Biden's uncle was eaten by cannibals, I guess. Did you hear about this?
Well, actually, he said he was shot down over New Guinea.
Not true. Not true.
The body was never found.
Not true.
And there's cannibals. So he insinuated that it was. And it turns out he was actually shot down over the ocean.
Right. Yeah.
The cannibals swim out and pick him up.
So we have
throw him on the spit. What?
For all the people that love the Trump lies. What does Biden do daily? He's telling these tall tales. It's unbelievable. Anyway, we have the audio. Did you hear about the Wawa milkshake controversy?
Oh yeah. Yeah, we played it this morning, too.
So Fox News had cameras in this Wawa, which is like a PetroServe USA convenience store.
A convenience store, yeah.
And before President Biden actually showed up. And what they did was they kept the regular customers out. And then the staff was instructed, okay, he's going to order a milkshake. So you need to be able to tell him what kind of milkshakes you have. This is how bad it is, folks. The leader of the free world, the president of the United States, is so infirm that when he shows up at one of these events, they actually have to walk people through so they know that, hey, Joe's going to ask for a milkshake. And of course, he couldn't ask for a milkshake. He's like, what do you got? And they go, oh, yeah, milkshake. Okay, we'll have that. It's unbelievable. Anyway, we'll get to your calls, questions, and take on this or anything else on your mind. 701-271-1100. But first, the weather. Justin Storm is in the Flag Weather Center. Is this about normal temps for this time of year, or are we a little behind?
You know, we're about where we should be for an overnight low temperature, but we'll be shy of where we get for high temperatures today across the states. And we're starting the morning off Again, on the chilly side for some of us, lower 20s out in western North Dakota, upper 20s to low 30s within the valley and over into Minnesota. A lot of upper 20s over here in the eastern half of the state. What we're going to be watching for is generally a cloudy and windy day for just about everyone out west. We'll see a little bit more sunshine than we would here in the eastern half of our state. With west northwest winds 15 to 30 and within the eastern half of our state and over into Minnesota, we'll get convective snow showers to develop later this morning and into the afternoon. Some of those will produce some moderate to maybe at times some heavy pockets of snow. I'm not really anticipating any accumulating snow outside of maybe a little on some grassy surfaces temporarily, but you mix in the wind with some of those moderate bands of snow that form, there will be some areas of reduced visibility over here within the valley and over into Minnesota. Tonight, everyone drops down into the 20s. The wind will stick around for your Saturday, but the sun shines out tomorrow with high temperatures across the state and the upper 40s to lower 50s, so a nice way to kick off the weekend, and another nice day follows for your Sunday, a little bit warmer than that.
All right, we're done with the precip?
No, we will see scattered snow showers throughout today.
Snow showers?
Snow showers, and there will be areas of reduced visibility that with the wind.
We're done with rain. We're not done with the precip.
Well, it could mix in a little bit with some rain here in Fargo, but as a whole around the area, yeah, it's going to be snow today.
Got it. Thanks, Justin.
No problem.
Staff meteorologist Justin Storm, let's get to the calls. Barnesville, Minnesota, we go. And Ken, you're up on what's on your mind. Hey, Ken.
Hey, good morning, Scott. Thanks for all you guys do. I am just calling this morning for an alert as far as gun owners go. Minnesota committee passed it out to the Senate floor. Senate Bill 4312. It has to do with storage of firearms in your house. And so they're going to want you to lock everything away. Anyway, if
what do you mean?
Kevin could do.
What do you mean? In other words, they're going to mandate you log?
Yes,
you lock?
Yes.
No way.
Yes. Yes. In your own home.
How do they police that?
That's a great question, Scott. Nobody can answer it. Nobody will. But that's Minnesota for you. Yeah, it's the more ridiculousness, Ken. I'm with you. We'll see if it gets through the Senate. But if you don't follow, I've mentioned Ben Doerr and Minnesota Gun Rights. If you don't follow Ben, help support him. This is what we're dealing with. This is blue hair St. Paul nonsense. Well, you got to make sure we're going to make. And who's going to police that? Where's the staff that's going to go knocking on the doors, Tim? Come on.
That's interesting.
So it's number 4312. I look at Minnesota Gun Caucus is another organization that's on the floor every day that they're in session. So they give you a way to get a hold of Kupik and
Had Rob Kupik on, the state senator from District 4. I'll reach out to his people and find out where he is at on that particular issue. Not surprised. Anybody surprised? I mean, the regime that has come out of Minnesota knows no bounds. None. Zippo, nada.
Meanwhile, in St. Paul in Minneapolis.
Yeah, no kidding. For lunch today, Petro Serve USA, a chili burger is waiting for you in Harwood. A meatball sub in Valley City. They have lasagna there, too. Lasagna or Salisbury steak, West Main Avenue, West Fargo. Meatloaf today, 12th Avenue, Petro Serve USA. Sloppy Joe's at the Glendon location. Swedish meatballs in Yulin. Ada has bacon cheeseburger mac and cheese. Ooh, that's a must stop on our way to the lake. Castleton Taco Mac today. Petrol Serve USA home cooking, grab and go convenience. You just tell them that Scott sent you, by golly. All righty, let's see. We're going to go back to the phones here in a moment, but Jim Acosta, you know who Jim Acosta is? It's a
Trump's favorite.
Complete lunatic at CNN. I see he is about to introduce Kelly Armstrong for a conversation about what I don't know, but let's pick this up.
See if we can hear it here.
And Congressman through the House talked part of this as well.
We'll tell you what we'll do. We'll pull that audio from CNN and get a little later because the quality is obviously not very good. We don't exactly have a link directly to CNN in our system. I don't know why that is, Kev. Why don't we have a?
I don't know. I'll ask. Because nobody's ever asked.
It'll break the radio.
Yeah,
it'll break the radio. That's why we didn't do it. But yeah, this will get interesting, so I'm sure. Jim Acosta, he'll be trying to throw Kelly Armstrong some curveballs. So we'll pull that as soon as they post it for you. Julie Fedorchuk, by the way, who is a congressional candidate to take the seat now held by Kelly Armstrong. She is one of five Republicans vying for the lone seat representing North Dakota in Congress. She'll join us from the campaign trail coming up next hour. In our Your Health segment today, we have from the University of North Dakota School of Medicine and Health Services, A special guest to talk about neurology and dementia. And some staggering numbers just came out that 55 million people worldwide are living with dementia, and it continues to grow every year. What is going on? Why is that? And we're going to talk a little bit about warning signs and whatnot. So looking forward to that, our health segment today. And then Norway aficionado and lutefisk connoisseur Carol Juven will be coming up on the program. Lots to do today. And in the meantime, Open Phone Friday. Jimmy Failla tomorrow night. We are looking forward to having the man himself. I understand he's flying into Minneapolis. He's doing the Hannity show tonight from Minneapolis. And then he's getting in a car and driving up here. This guy's unbelievable.
That is correct.
He's got the big time stars from Fox, they got drivers, they got cars, he's renting a car and drive it up. Common man. I tell you, I love it. And then after the event on Saturday, have a nice sleep and then head out Sunday morning back to fly out of Minneapolis. Unbelievable. What is Fox on a budget these days? They're only flying out of Minneapolis.
Yeah. Well, you know, it works for him. And I know, Jimmy, this is a kind of a side hustle for him when he does his weekend gigs. And what part of the deal is that he has to do these network, hits with like Hannity or whoever. So he's going to do it at the Fox station, Fox 9 in Minneapolis. And then I think he knows some people in Minneapolis. So he's crashing and he's coming up Saturday morning. So be fun. Tickets still available. Let's go.
By the way, last I checked, there were two VIP tickets left. So
I heard it sold out this morning.
Did you?
Yep.
So maybe the last two did go. I was going to say, yep. I want to make it my mission today to sell it out. But, you know.
But we do have two to give away today.
So. Oh, do we really?
Yes, we do.
Wow.
Last two. This is it.
All right. So
we'll do that.
Best call.
The end of the show.
Best call of the hour. We're going to do it this hour. Let's get to it.
All right.
Best call of the hour, 701-271-1100. You call. You got to have a conversation with us. You can't just call. It's not like, you know, caller number four. I hate those. I want you to dance for your dinner a little bit. I want you to, you know, have a little something that interests you. You could. I don't care if you tell me where the best place to have a burger is. You can say whatever you want. It's Open Phone Friday, whatever's on your mind. But you call us at 701-271-1100 this hour, and you'll be in that mix to win a pair of tickets for Jimmy Failla, our final giveaway pair. And by the way, tickets start at $40, and there's not a bad seat in the house. So don't feel like you got to have the $100 VIPs to be, you know, it's really, really laid out nice. There's not a bad seat in that place. So look forward to seeing you all tomorrow night. 701-271-1100. Let's see. Crystal is next on What's on Your Mind. Good morning, Crystal.
Well, hey, if my conversation with you gets those tickets, please give them to Fargo police. But anyway, I want to thank you for playing that little segment with CNN talking with Kelly Armstrong. Yes. It probably was a little bit costly to defend Israel, but when you think of over...
Lost Crystal there, Kat.
Campbell would have been. Oh, there you are.
Yeah, sorry, we lost you for a second. Go ahead.
That's okay. I was looking at the Kelly's response about the cost of the Patriot missile, and I'm saying, well, yes, that is the cost of war. We're defending. We're an ally with Israel, and a lot of people don't like that, but that is... military that is built in the United States, and there's 22 districts in the U.S. that make the Abraham tanks, we make the howitzers. These are the things that we as a nation defend ourselves with and defend our allies with, and that's the economy, the manufacturing that is being done in the U.S. It's job. Mike McCall, who's the congressman in Texas, he's on the Foreign Relations Committee. And he was on C-SPAN yesterday answering questions and very profound about the passage of the foreign relations policy that is being looked at on the House floor right now, which must get our support.
I agree with you, Crystal. I do, and I appreciate your call very much. It is not fun, given $34 trillion in debt, that we're having to dole this out, largely because it would not have even happened but for Joe Biden's presidency. That's the frustrating thing. But nonetheless, we did... while insisting that Ukraine denuke, that we would defend them in an attack. So we're keeping our word here is what we're doing. Mike in Fargo, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, boys? Nice to talk to you this morning.
You as well.
Right on, right on. I'm so stoked for this Jimmy Failla show tomorrow night. It'll be stoking. It'll be awesome. Anyway, I want to tell you, your show, Alex and Kevin in the morning, you know, they wake me up and then Scott Old School brings me in the morning, a little bit more until the afternoon. Then you got Kirk in the serious. And then you got your man Jimmy Failla. Oh, it's such a good lineup, man.
Appreciate that. And then, of course, the Steve Hallstrom show to end the day, 4 to 6, which I think is the best show on radio.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
I do. I like it, too. I can't stop listening to it. It's just good stuff.
Well, I love the fact that
all right, Mike, is sucking up for tickets is not, I don't know if it's going to qualify as a good call, but I love you, man.
Yeah. Well,
I'm a truck driver. truck driver north of Castleton. I have a little note of notoriety. I qualified for the championship round of the hole-in-one show last week using my driver on a par three.
Hey, what a deal. You're in the mix. You're in the mix, Mike. Best call of the day gets a pair of tickets. Thank you. Jody and Fargo, when we come back, your calls on this Open Phone Friday. Welcome on anything, even if you're in the hole-in-one contest. Get on the soapbox and brag a little on what's on your mind. Back on What's On Your Mind, Open Phone Friday time, and best call of the hour gets a pair of tickets for Jimmy Failla on us. Our final pair of giveaway tickets, the big show tomorrow. Cannot wait. West Fargo, Doubletree by Hilton. Ballroom. Going to be a blast. Great show on the way. Let's see who's next. Jody in Fargo. Jody, what's on your mind?
Hey, Scott, this is Jody, and I used to work out at the Air Guard, so I've talked to you many times.
Oh, God bless you. I tell you, that Air Guard is the best of the best, doing some incredible things right now, the 119th, and they're on the front line of this war on terror. So,
well, most of them, anyway.
Always have.
You know that Doopy guy? I don't know about him. I don't know about
I think he's doing just fine.
I know. I can't.
Anyway, so Jimmy Failla, well, we watch him all the time on different clips, and we're just hoping that we could win a free pair of tickets to that.
So
we listen to you guys all the time.
Do you watch him on Fox and listen to him on the air?
Yes.
What do you like best about Jimmy Failla?
I love the parenting humor. I do. I just think that is great. And, the fact that I love his bit on, you can't spank your kids, and it's not that I want to, but they know you can't.
He just cracks me up every time. He's a unique talent in that I've never known anybody that can have the intellect that he has, where he can really break
down.
I mean, he can break down Iran versus Israel and Hamas, the intricacies of foreign policy. And the next time he's telling a joke about his kid, I mean, it's just a real interesting mix of humor and great stuff. And the other,
go ahead. Excuse me. I love how he uses all of his cab driving experience in his act.
Yeah.
And
he has
everything
he
learned from that.
That he uses, when you have the facts, you pound the facts. When you don't have the facts, you pound the table. I don't know how many times I've used that in the last 3 years, but I mean, it's so good.
It's awesome. Yeah, exactly. And I've been, listening since you were down on Broadway there in that little big windowed studio. That was a cool studio, too.
Thank you. It was. 64 Broadway was that's where the flag was born. So
that's where it was born.
August of 2008, and we're still standing.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
August
awesome.
Of 2008. You know who my first guest was?
Who? Oh, was it one of the 119th people?
I wish it would have been. John McCain. John McCain.
No kidding.
Yeah, he was running for president against Obama in 08, right?
Yeah.
The 08 race, Obama versus McCain. Yeah, that was
awesome.
An interesting day. Well, Jody, you're in the running for sure. We appreciate you, and thank you for your service to the 119th, and stay tuned. You never know. You might be a lucky winner.
Yeah, all right. Have a great day.
You bet. Let's go to Bruce in Minot. You're next on What's On Your Mind. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I got a quick story to tell you about fentanyl. I'm a truck driver. I'm almost 62 years old. I don't drink alcohol. I don't smoke. I never took drugs in my entire life. And I developed a severe pain, when I was driving a truck about 4 years ago. It was the peak of COVID. And I managed to get my truck to Montana. I was staying at a hotel there. Went to my room, went to my bed, and I was in so much pain. I thought I was going to die. I called my wife and told her. I said, I think this is it. I said, I have such pain. I thought I was going to die. So anyways, my oldest son called an ambulance. They took me out of that room in an ambulance. I think I passed out a few times. I don't remember getting to the hospital. They laid me on the bed there. I was just in so much pain. They did some tests on me. The doctor came in and told the nurse to give me some fentanyl. Well, I heard stories about fentanyl. I could hear him saying that, and I could see him telling that nurse, giving me the fentanyl. And she just kind of stared like in a amazement. So I was able to turn and see her take that needle and put it in that IV they had into me. And I felt a warm sensation come over me instantly when she took that needle out.
Oh, yeah.
It came from my feet all the way up to my head. And instantly, my pain was gone. My son was, he was working out in Montana too, where I was at. He came out and I just jumped right off that bed, and I said, the nurse said, you felt that, didn't you? I said, what did you do to me? I said, I have no pain. It's totally gone. I said, I don't know what you did. I can leave. No,
that's
she said, we got to do a few more tests on you. Anyways, I didn't, at the time, I listen to your show a lot. I hear a lot of these stories about fentanyl. I thought, oh my God, I am something wrong with me. I'm going to get killed with this fentanyl. Well, I guess my point is, you hear so many stories about getting rid of fentanyl. I believe, and I'm sure it'll still take place, in a medical kind of condition like that where it's administered to you. I think fentanyl should like stay in our medicine pool.
No question.
Of course. We're not dead.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think anybody's advocating for it not being able to be used in a medical setting.
Yeah. No, and the synthetic illegal, what do they call them, the M30 pills or whatever that they're making in the cartel labs in Mexico, that's what we're dealing with. The medical world and fentanyl. I had a fentanyl drip when I had back surgery. It was the greatest thing ever. I had to wait every 20 minutes before I could push the button, though. So, like, minute 19, I was like, come on!
I would imagine, that's dose-wise, considerably smaller than some of the stuff they're packing into these other pills. You know?
That's the other point I was going to wonder. You know, you hear young people taking this fentanyl that, you know, it's not medically administered, and they're dying from it.
Yep.
I mean, this had to have been a small amount that they gave me. And I can only imagine, it just seems like the young people are doing it. Why would they want to take this stuff? Because that was just a small amount, a large quantity. Well, what would that do to you? I mean,
a lot of the kids that are dying are not knowing that they're even taking it. It's mixed in with these counterfeit oxycodone pills or Adderall or whatever. And it's in everything. I saw a comic talking about, fentanyl wrecked cocaine. You know, he was talking to this Hollywood type is like, yeah, they all do it. No, they don't. Not none of them do it because they don't want to die.
Interesting story.
Wow.
Bruce, appreciate the call very much. You're in the mix for tickets. Thank you. 701-271-1100. Let's go to Mike, also in Minot. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind?
Yeah, old Mike Johnson was dead set against foreign aid until he went to Mar-a-Lago and talked to Trump when he came out of there. All of a sudden, am I the only one that noticed this? He was all for, you know, without the border package.
I think
he was just there at Mar-a-Lago.
You're right.
And
he wasn't.
He's all for it.
He was at Mar-a-Lago, but I don't know that Mike Johnson's ever been against Ukraine aid. I think he was. The debate was, do you do it as part of one bill or another bill? And I think where he came out of Mar-a-Lago, he did a press conference actually with President Trump down there. I think it was the process to get it through by splitting up the foreign aid into one for Ukraine, one for Taiwan, one for Israel. So I think it was just a process thing, but it wasn't he went to Mar-a-Lago not believing or supporting aid for Ukraine and then somehow flipped on that. That's not what happened. But.
Well, I don't think they're going to take him out. This will blow over and he'll still be the Speaker of the House next month. All right. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. I tend to agree with you. I think that they just can't afford to have another poop show, for lack of a better term. By vacating the seat. Evidently, he doesn't have the votes to change the rule. And remember, Kevin McCarthy is the reason that rule was in place because he needed it and gave into it to become speaker, where one member can vote to vacate the speaker and actually have a vote then. All the members have to vote on it. And the Democrats would love to have their speaker, so this thing is perfect for them. You know, this is the stuff that drives me crazy about Marjorie Taylor Greene and others as well that are sort of that caucus. The burn the house down method of getting your way, to me, seems like something that should be left for anarchists. You know, I mean, I get it. You have frustrations. Convince more people you're right and get more votes rather than saying, we're gonna have the Speaker of the Week. He's gone. She's gone. I think that makes Republicans look terrible, and the media loves it. They play up the fight. Don't do anything that plays into their hands right now. We are on offense in so many ways. Stay on offense. Bouncing Speaker Mike Johnson is going to turn into a mess of nothing but playing defense. All right, more calls. Welcome here at 701-271-1100. A few texts rolling in. Listener says, I have my VIP tickets already. I am a 0500 to drift off to sleep Flag Empire listener and watcher, now with the addition of Flag Plus, and have been since returning to the area 6 years ago. But I followed Scott from Grand Forks, where Rush was on first, then to WDAY, then to the Flag, and each iteration of his brainchild since 1988. My goodness. Who was it earlier that, I think it was Trucker Dave, or a truck driver Mike, rather, that called in and said I was old school. And that text right there is proving I am old school. but what a memory. You're right. I started in talk radio, as it now exists, in 1986, covering the Mark Andrews-Kent Conrad race. And we started a talk radio station that was the first talk show of what you know a talk show to be. You know, before you'd have very good personalities that would, you know, play some songs, tell some laughs. That was kind of talk radio back in the day. Don Dresser, for instance, legendary on WDAY. Jim Bowman was that up in Grand Forks. But Actual Talk Radio started for the first show in North Dakota in 1986. So we did that for 2 years, and then Rush Limbaugh came along, and we were on rocket fuel. It's unbelievable. Brian in Fargo, you're next on What's On Your Mind. You got a minute, Brian, go.
You know, I want to hear a little bit more about getting back to, like, Ray Epps and stuff that they have never, you know, I understand he was just given probation, like, 6 months or stuff and signed off on, you know, on a Friday night on his instigating all the stuff with January 6th. But also, I would like to see the Republicans bring some charges for prosecutorial misconduct, starting with all these prosecutors that are just out of whack.
Good question.
And subverting the law.
Good question on that.
Where's the Republicans to bring these guys up on prosecutorial misconduct?
Yeah. Can Congress do that? Can Congress do that? I mean, I'm not sure they could, but I'll tell you what, some of these defense lawyers should bring them up on charges, or whatever it's called, a review of what they've done, because it's been ridiculous. And I wonder how many of them that were doing the insurrection at Columbia yesterday have been charged with the insurrection. But I haven't heard about Ray Epps for a while, Kev. Anything new that you've seen?
No, nothing. Haven't seen much on J6 at all.
Yeah, I haven't either. Kind of quiet. Brian, thanks for the call. You're in the mix. We have a free pair of tickets paid for by a flag listener for a veteran that would like tickets to Jimmy Failla. We'll do that when we come back on What's On Your Mind. You know, our friends at the University of Mary added a new program to their business school's stellar suite of degree offerings a couple of years ago. Mary's Doctorate of Business Administration pathway builds on their skills-focused, value-centered MBA curriculum. So that brings together practical knowledge and executive leadership skills in a supportive, faith-based environment. So, and by the way, the program is very flexible. The online format, you can earn your DBA in as little as 3 years. You continue to work full-time. Find out more about this. Submit your application today at umary.edu/DBA, one of our fine sponsors here on What's On Your Mind. Steven is on the road. Steven, what's on your mind? You're next.
It's Congress. I mean, you can get that Speaker of the House out of the way. You just got to have insider stock tips and a spending bill to go with it. You can get AOC to vote any way you want. You just got to make her money on her stock trade. Same with Pelosi. All you got to do is tie it to the money. They'll vote any way you want.
How would you do that?
Well, I don't know. They're the ones doing the insider trading that's illegal for you and me to do. If you did what Pelosi does, you'd be in prison, Scott.
Agree. So
we can send you to Congress so you can do insider trading. Then we can get all kinds of things passed. You just got to attach any want you have to how they make money. Done.
There you go.
Well, I love your simplistic idea of, how to go about it. Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate that very much. For sure. Let's see here. Some more texts. This caller came in off the air. Interesting take. We'll put this caller in the mix, too. Go ahead and roll that, Kev.
What I called in for is everything is upside down and backward with the left and Biden. I call him Joe Obama. But everything is upside and backwards. So upside down and backwards. So when Mayorkas says the border is secure, he means it's secure for illegal, right? And then when he says we're doing everything we can for the border or to protect it or whatever, it's to protect it for the illegal, to have them come in safely. Come on in. No one's going to stop you. Just come on in. Get on our ground is everything. But if I don't know, there was a hearing yesterday. I don't know if I'll take the time and listen to it. But I would start with, I would put all the stats up of President Trump, right? How few came in. I think there was 1 year where there was a lot there. But generally, there was nobody coming in. When General Kelly was on that border, I think the first 2 years, there was like no one coming in.
Yeah, you're right. You couldn't be more right. Appreciate the call. Got you in the mix, by the way. So thank you for that.
So you had Alexi and Preston for us, too.
When she talks about what's, you know, right is wrong and what's secure is insecure and all of that, I think of a Bible verse that Riley Gaines cited for her predicament in the whole mess with Leah Thomas.
Yep.
And she said, here's one that describes the world in which we live right now, sadly. It's Isaiah 5, verses 20 through 21. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. Very interesting. A lot of wisdom in the good book, and I'll tell you what, that does describe the culture in which we live right now without question. What do you think it means to say woe to those who are calling evil good and good evil? I don't think it's going to end well.
No.
I don't. I wouldn't want to be in that camp. No. Yeah, exactly right.
I always wonder, you know, what I would do if I stumbled, you know, because, I mean, pretty, you know, But I wonder what I would do if I came across this guy. I mean, you know, I don't know that I could not say anything.
It's a good question. Good question, because I don't know that you'd. I don't know that you'd accomplish anything, and you'd have this person screaming at you some more. So
yeah, but you know.
But also, your beliefs are as important as his beliefs.
Yeah. Well, his beliefs are his. It's his truth.
Yeah.
That you know. Excuse me. It's ma'am. Well, in what world are you a woman? I mean, that's where I'd start, and except your own world. And that's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with all kinds of people in their own world that somehow have been affirmed that your world is okay. Your truth is just fine, but I'm supposed to jump in on your boat as well. I don't understand that part.
Yeah, I hear you 100%. Let's see here. We've thrown all the names in a hat here that have called in, and there's been a bunch here in the last half hour. You're all in the drawing for the Jimmy Failla tickets. And Mike in Fargo comes up the winner. Mike in Fargo, he's the one that said I was old school, but he listened all day. So just by saying I'm old school gives you a prize. So Mike in Fargo will be calling you to get your Jimmy Failla tickets in your hands.
Mikey!
And by the way, some lovely listener said that any veteran that would like a pair of tickets to Jimmy Failla, he will buy a pair of tickets. So if you are a veteran and you are the fourth caller right now at 701-271-1100. You get another pair of free tickets for Jimmy Failla, courtesy of one of our fine listeners here on the program. Is that nice or what? I love it. Call now, 271-1100 for vets only. They are voting in Congress right now in the House on whether or not to, it's a rule vote, they call it, but the vote is to move ahead with debate on foreign aid. So the votes were there. It would probably tell you that the votes are there for the actual aid as well. Some members of the Republican caucus are threatening, if Ukraine funding passes, to vote to vacate the speaker's spot, that they have a vote on that as well. I'm not sure when exactly that would come or if they're still going there, but it looks as though the numbers are there to pass the foreign aid in the House. We'll keep tabs on that, but they've done some procedural votes that suggest they're moving ahead. Wanted you to know that. Julie Fedorchuk, running for Congress, current member of the Public Service Commission in North Dakota, joins us momentarily from the campaign trail. Your health segment today, we're going to talk about 55 million people worldwide living with dementia and talk about some of the warning signs with an expert from Sanford Health today on the program. And then we're talking lutefisk with Carol Juven before we're done. But let's talk weather right now. Justin Storm from the Flag Weather Center. How are we looking, sir?
Well, it's looking cloudy out there and windy. We're getting gusts of 30 miles an hour across the state, and we're going to watch for scattered snow showers to be developing throughout this morning into the afternoon across the eastern half of North Dakota and over into Minnesota. Currently seeing those convective snow showers starting to build in areas of northwestern North Dakota. Those will spread more into the central and southern valley of the Red River throughout this afternoon, producing some areas of reduced visibility. Everyone today is stuck in the 30s, a few low 40s out there, and for tomorrow it will be a much nicer day. However, 40s and 50s across the states, lots of sunshine, a little breezy, but even nicer for Sunday. Just as much sunshine, lighter winds, lots of 50s to low 60s.
How much snow can we expect?
Well, here's the thing. A lot of this is going to melt when it hits the ground, and the sun radiating through the cloud is also going to melt a lot of the snow. So some areas could see a little over an inch of accumulation out of these snow showers, but actually stays on the ground would likely be trace amounts.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Justin Storm from the Flag Weather Center. Julie Fedorchuk is here, candidate for Congress. Kelly Armstrong vacating his seat to run for governor. And so we have a busy crowd of five now, I believe, running for the Republican nomination in the primary vote for that House seat. Julie, welcome back. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. I feel great this morning. How about you?
Feeling good. You over your awful
I'll
little
tell you,
sore
your
throat.
Your voice is much better.
It is much better. It's... At the end of this interview, it'll be weaker than it is now, but we're working on it. No worries.
That's something you need on the campaign trail. How's it going so far? Just give us an update on how you think your campaign's going.
We feel really, really great right now. Strong momentum coming off of last week's debate, last week's fundraising reports. We raised $450,000 in 45 days. We've got people from throughout the state reaching out to us saying, can you come here? Can you visit us there? Would like to show you this. So we're building out a really aggressive schedule that will take us from border to border throughout the next 7 weeks until Election Day, and really emphasizing my record of results for North Dakota, being the only candidate in this race who has a consistent record of delivering conservative results for North Dakotans in North Dakota and never having switched parties for my own political benefit. So I think we've got some great messaging and getting really strong support and feedback from folks.
You mentioned the debate we hosted a week ago. What were your impressions from that debate? What were your takeaways?
Well, I thought it was, first of all, it was a lot of fun. I thought it was a great opportunity. My goal in the debate was to try as much as I could to contrast myself against my opponents and where we're different, to really talk about record and results and where we are, and emphasize, you know, my work on energy policy in North Dakota, helping to keep utility rates low, helping to, you know, help our North Dakota families when they're paying their bills, because energy is a cost that's baked into everything, and really showing that I'm not only just a fighter in terms of my word, but in my deeds and how I approach this this job, and will approach my service to the state of North Dakota in Washington. So I really thought, you know, we've created some contrast on key issues, law enforcement, veterans, the border, and there's many more to come. So excited about that.
You accused your opponent, Rick Becker, of, I forget the term you used, but that it wasn't sexist, but it was you thought, a derogatory tone towards you. Explain that. What got under your craw there from that conversation?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly. You said something about I was being propped up by country club Republicans. And Scott, you and I have known each other a long time. And I think you know that I am a worker. That's what I do. And I don't get propped up by anybody. The people who know me well, the Ed Schaefers of the world, the Jack Dalrymples, the Josh Galleons of the world, they support me because they know that I work. And that's why I have 70 plus endorsements of folks in North Dakota, not people from around the country that don't know diddly do about my record, but people who have worked with me arm in arm and know that, A, I serve because I care about North Dakota, and I serve to solve problems and get results. And that's why I have that support. And it was really, really superficial for Rick to suggest that I'm being propped up as like some doll or something, to just be a front for what everybody else wants me to do, or that I'm some puppet. And that is, could not be further from the truth. And I do think it was a sexist attack. And I think it was ridiculous and completely baseless. And so I, yeah, let him know that.
The House right now is debating a foreign aid package for Israel and Ukraine. And I believe there's one for Taiwan as well. It has been obviously very controversial. If you were there right now, how do you vote on this Ukraine pack?
So, Scott, I think that there's so much going on in D.C. right now, and it's really important, and I appreciate you doing this, separating the drama from the substance. You know, there's a lot going on with the issues of leadership in the House and that sort of thing. So it is really important that we zero in on the key issues at hand. And in terms of the Ukraine, this is a role that North Dakota, or that the U.S. needs to take seriously in terms of our leadership abroad. So I would support this package, but I would say that it is really frustrating that here we sit with the Biden administration providing essentially zero leadership on this and helping the members of Congress understand what the long-term plan is for helping and resolving this issue. We didn't have these problems when Trump was in office. We didn't have all of these issues in foreign countries popping up, because he provided that strong leadership, and these foreign countries knew that they couldn't mess with us. So we need to get back to that. We need to put Trump back in office so that we can have that stronger leadership. And we do need, and if I'm in the House, I will be pushing hard for long-term solutions and plans for our foreign engagement, not just, you know, sort of ad hoc emergency funding when absolutely needed. So we need to just return orderly approaches to this and other issues in Washington, to get our budget under control and maintain our strong leadership role overseas.
We talked to Congressman Armstrong yesterday. He said he would be voting no on this Ukraine aid. How would you vote on this particular pack?
Well, I have to say I haven't had a chance to read the whole bill. So until I did that, I couldn't say because I haven't read the whole package or know what's in it or what would be objectionable. But I just generally, like I said, support. I think we need to take our role internationally seriously and support our allies and support our missions that are central to stability.
Texter says, please ask Julie if she was representing her family and 75% of the family wanted to order pizza, would she order Chinese takeout because she knows better? Now use the same analogy when it would come to sending money, to Ukraine if she was to win. I would translate what that caller is saying as your constituents wouldn't want you to vote for this Ukraine package, and they obviously are counting noses and suggesting that there's 75% of people that would be on that side. Why would you want to be on the 25% side? We'll give you a chance to answer that. On the other side of the break, calls, texts, welcome as always. Julie Fedorchuk, candidate for Congress in North Dakota with us. 701-271-1100. More after this. Brought to you today by MyPillow. The $25 bonanza continues. They've got a dozen or more of their products in great bundles at $25 right now. If you get $75 more purchase, you get free shipping too. So it is the time to buy at MyPillow.com. Remember, there's graduations coming up. There'll be weddings this summer, birthdays, anniversaries. This is the way to go. And I've given these gifts forever, long as Mike and the MyPillow team have been a partner with us here at Flag Family Media. And people light up. They're like, oh, I saw this on TV. I love this. I can't wait to try it. So people really will. Back with Julie Fedorchuk, candidate for Congress with us on the program. So the texture before the program is basically saying the majority of people want you to do this, but if you vote for Ukraine funding, as their example in this case, you're not listening to the people. How would you gauge what North Dakotans want, and how would that affect your vote, Julie?
Well, thank you. That's a great question. And first of all, obviously you can't poll North Dakotans before every vote, so you wouldn't have like the exact thoughts from our citizens on every vote. But staying in close contact with the citizens, being available in state, around the state, and having good communication with them through the office would be key. And really important, and I would definitely commit to that, of course. As it relates to the funding issues overseas, I really appreciate North Dakotan's frustration with some of the overseas spending because I think it ties to a deeper frustration with the overall budget and the debt that we're in, and that's a really serious problem, and quite honestly, it's one of the main reasons I wanted to run for this office is to help be a voice of reason out there, try to really roll up our sleeves and get to work on solving some of this debt and budget issues. We don't have an orderly process for passing a budget every year that would include buckets of money for overseas support so we can be thoughtful about it. I don't think that it has to be one or the other, that we can't provide a leadership role overseas and have a balanced budget. We can and we must, because we are a leader in the world, and the world is a small place, and if we ignore that responsibility, it's going to come back and affect North Dakotans, our economy, and our security. So we have to do both. We just have to go about it in a more responsible way, where we spend, quite honestly, a lot less time on drama like the House is spending over leadership, and a lot more time working on the issues that are important to our citizens and being serious about them and solving them and coming up with good, strong solutions. So I think that's the approach that I will bring to my service in Congress for North Dakota.
Walter in Dickinson, you have a question or comment for Julie Fedorchuk. Go ahead.
Hi, yeah, Julie, can you hear me?
I can.
Question for you. So historically, Rick Becker is really bad on farm issues. He opposed federal crop insurance in 2022 when he ran against Hoban as an independent. How and will you support farmers?
That's a great question, Walter. I appreciate that. Well, agriculture is our state's number one industry. It accounts for 110,000 jobs in our state. And in fact, one out of every five jobs in North Dakota is traced back to agriculture. So the Farm Bill is a really important part of policy for North Dakota. And I will you know, work actively to get a strong farm bill for North Dakotans that includes crop insurance. That's one of the most important risk management tools, and it's quite honestly something that Republicans pushed, you know, several decades ago to provide a more Republican approach to farm program support. So I think that that's a really key piece of the farm bill. I look forward to working with our agriculture community on a new farm bill. If they don't get it done this year, next year, I would seek to be on an agriculture committee so that I can have a strong voice representing our farmers and working hand in hand with them on issues like crop insurance and other key elements of the farm bill. The other thing that's important for the farm community and in our engagement with our colleagues across the country is the farm programs don't just help farm states. They help America because we have to have food security in this country, and a farm program helps support that. So I think that that's a message that I would proudly take to my colleagues in other states and balancing out the need for a strong farm program so we can ensure our food supply long term for a country and not be beholden to other countries for our food to feed our people.
A question from another listener. What is Julie's royalty rate on carbon sequestered under her family's land? This came up in the debate as well, but I guess a more specific question here.
So my husband and I, we back in 2012 bought a farm west of Bismarck because we wanted to teach our kids to work. That's why we bought that farm, and that's why we have it to this day. This was long before anyone imagined this carbon summit project coming through, or even the idea of storing CO2 in North Dakota. So we didn't even know what our geology was for that matter. And so as landowners and farm owners, my husband and I have the ability to choose how we want to operate our land, right? So we entered into a contract with Carbon Summit a couple years ago, and I don't have the royalty rate on there, but I can to list to you. But it's a far cry from the millions that Rick Becker is suggesting that we have made. It's a pretty modest amount. But like any operator of land, you have to look at how you can best utilize that land to pay your bills and secure your property rights for the future. And so that's what we did. And furthermore, as a public service commissioner, we permit a pipeline, the Carbon Summit pipeline, that will bring the CO2 from a number of different ethanol plants to the area out by center where we are in the storage field, my husband and I. I've recused myself fully from that case, even though it's important to note that I don't have a direct conflict on that case. I'm not an easement holder for that pipeline. We have a storage contract, two different projects. The storage is overseen by the Industrial Commission. But I did recuse myself because I wanted to, you know, make it perfectly clear that I have zero influence on that decision that's being made by the Public Service Commission and my colleagues there. So haven't been involved in any of the hearings, haven't even attended them, and don't participate in any of the discussions and on staff either. So I think that, you know, as any North Dakotan who's engaged in business, my husband and I have tried our best to make responsible decisions for ourselves and our family. And that was the nature under which we entered into a contract to store CO2 for that project.
Looking forward to more conversations like this with all the candidates, by the way, now till the June primary and obviously through November, up till November in the election. Thanks for the time today, Julie. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott.
Julie Fedorchuk, candidate for Congress for that lone U.S. House seat in North Dakota, our guest on What's on Your Mind. The Your Health segment and Alzheimer's, dementia rather, when we come back in our focus. Don't go away. Brought to you today by PetroServe USA, home cooking, grab and go convenience. It's Friday today. That's right. Fill up with 8 gallons or more, you get a free car wash. You don't get a car wash in about literally every neighborhood corner these days, but they have a great one in PetroServe USA. Now in Castleton as well with a beautiful one. That one in Harwood is nice.
Wow.
And you fill up with 8 gallons or more, you get a free car wash. But
all right,
where else can you get your car wash filled up with your choice of fuels that connect North Dakota's oil fields with North Dakota corn fields, and get some home cooking like a chili burger in Harwood today. Meatball sub or lasagna in Valley City. Lasagna 2 West Main Avenue, West Fargo, along with Salisbury Steak today. Meatloaf at the 12th Avenue, I-29, Petroserve, USA. Sloppy Joe's in Glendon. Swedish Meatballs in Yulin. Ada has bacon, cheeseburger, mac and cheese. 45th Street, Fargo location, pulled pork and taco mac in Castleton. Petroserve, USA, recently named one of the biggest convenience store chains in America. Pretty cool. All right, your health segment today. We welcome Dr. Marie Schaaf, who is a neuropsychologist at Sanford Health, also a adjunct professor of psychiatry at the University of North Dakota School of Medicine and Health Services. We're going to talk a little bit about the fact that 55 million people plus in the most recent surveys worldwide are living with dementia, and that number is on the rise. So it affects a lot of families. We thought this would be a good topic to tackle in the Your Health segment today, brought to you by Sanford Health. Dr. Schaaf, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Why is dementia on the rise?
Well, in general, our population is aging, and part of that's because we're doing a good job of taking care of people and helping them live longer lives. And dementia is one of those diseases that affects us later in life.
My mom had dementia. She got it in her mid-60s. And, you know, more and more you hear an occasion where that's the case. I think a famous actor, who am I thinking of again?
We've had several folks who have had different types of dementia. Bruce Willis is the one who has a certain type of aphasia.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the one I was thinking of. Did Mel Gibson have it too? Can't remember what Mel Gibson
had. No, he's
something
good.
Different. Anyway, what is there a trend that you're seeing more cases in younger age folks?
Well, so there are different types of dementia, and the different types of dementia can happen in different age ranges. So some types of dementia do start a bit earlier, and other ones tend to start a little bit later in life. So depending on the type of dementia, you know, the course and when it starts can be a little bit different.
And, you know, some people conflate Alzheimer's and dementia. Explain it. What is dementia? What is the medical diagnosis of what dementia actually is?
Yeah, so Alzheimer's is a type of dementia. I'm glad you brought that up. Dementia is, you have to have two things happen. It's when we start to lose our thinking skills to a certain degree, like memory or language skills or problem solving. And it also means we're starting to lose our day-to-day abilities, such as remembering to take our medications or getting our bills paid on time, or maybe we start to have difficulties driving even though we've always been a good driver. So it's a loss of thinking skills and a loss of functioning ability.
And what do you do? How do you treat it? What does Sanford do specifically to treat dementia?
So dementia is one of those tricky diseases because we don't have a cure. We don't have anything we can give you to reverse the symptoms, but what we do is we try to catch it as early as possible because we have some medications that can slow down the process depending on the type of dementia. And we also have a bunch of other health things that can affect how dementia progresses. So the healthier we keep you, you know, from a physical standpoint, the healthier we can keep your brain with its thinking skills and its functional abilities. So we, you know, in neuropsychology, I will do cognitive testing where I compare an individual's scores to other people their same age to see if they're scoring where we would expect. And if their scores are significantly lower, then we start some of those treatment options to help slow that process. And we monitor over time so that we can adjust treatment as the disease progresses.
So tell me a little bit more about the assessments that you do. And, you know, what do you get back in the way of tests or results? Or, you know, I'm curious to know how when people come in, what a patient could expect as far as an assessment.
Yeah, so different providers are a little bit different. But if someone is scheduled with me, I meet with them and maybe a family member who knows them well, and we talk about what's going on and try to help them feel a little comfortable because most people are anxious when they come into the clinic. And then I have them do several different tasks with one of my psychometrists. That's a fancy term for someone who administers or gives the test the same way to everybody every time. So they're going to ask people to define certain words. They're going to have people remember stories or remember pictures. We're going to have people, you know, look at pictures with a piece missing and try to figure out what piece is missing. We're going to have people do tasks really quickly to see how fast their brains can work. We're looking at all sorts of different thinking skills.
And then depending on what those patterns of scores look like, we go over the results with folks and say, you know, your language skills look good, but your thinking is slowing down and it's harder to multitask. And then based on those scores, we give treatment recommendations. For example, if I think, you know, if I see someone having a hard time with multitasking and their thinking speed is slowed, that could make it more dangerous on the road. So maybe I recommend we do a driving evaluation. Or if somebody's having memory troubles, there are some medicines that can slow down the memory loss. So I'm going to make sure my medical colleagues talk with them about the risks and the benefits of those medications and trying those. So it really depends on the individual, but we try to help folks feel as comfortable as possible. Usually takes us a couple hours to do all of those paper pencil tasks because we do a bunch of them, but some of them are kind of like brain games and they go pretty fast once we get folks started.
My mom, again, I remember very well when she went in for the assessment you're talking about, and the doctor pulled me aside without my mom there. She was finishing an assessment with an aide or a nurse or something, and the doctor said, your mom failed these tests amazingly. That wasn't the right word, but just basically, I mean, she off the chart did not pass these assessment tests. But he said, I've never seen anyone present themselves so well despite all of those obvious concerns out there. And I really learned that in that case. My mom knew something was wrong, but she was doing everything in the world to protect us from knowing that information and or wanting to kind of deal with it head on. Is that typical?
Yeah. So some folks will realize they're having difficulties and some folks won't. And what also happens, what I've noticed when I meet with folks is sometimes there are couples who have been together for such a long time that they've just learned how to, you know, cover for each other when they're having difficulties. And so sometimes we don't notice an individual's having some difficulties because the people around them are doing a great job of supporting them. And so then, you know, the scores that I get on my tests look pretty impaired. But when we sit down and talk, you wouldn't notice it just from interacting with someone. So you're absolutely right. Each person's a little different. And the way we assess things, we got to have a full picture because sometimes those just interactions, you know, having a conversation may not clue us in real well.
A listener wanted us to ask you, does a person with dementia know they have dementia? You sort of just answered that, right? Some do, some don't?
Yeah, it depends on the type of dementia. And, you know, the awareness that we have of ourselves is actually a thinking skill. We call it insight or self-monitoring. And that's a thinking skill that folks can lose depending on the type of dementia. So some are aware and some are not.
I want to talk a little bit about warning signs. So our listeners that want to identify that something is not right here in a neuropsychological way, either themselves or in their loved ones, what are the warning signs?
So, you know, there is, if there's family history of dementia, it increases our risk. It doesn't mean we're absolutely going to get it, but it's good to know what family history is. And we can watch for things that seem more than just what we would expect normal aging. Most of us slow down a little bit as we get older, and that's okay. And most of us might have a time or two where it's hard to come up with a word. But if we're having significant changes, like we can't remember the names of things that we use all the time, and it's not just a one-off, it's repeatedly. Or, you know, it's one thing to forget the name of a person who you haven't seen for a couple years, but it's a different thing to not recognize your spouse, right? And we also notice things like maybe someone's forgetting to pay their bill, or maybe they've paid their bill more than once because they forgot they paid it already. Again, a one-off is not too big of a deal, but a pattern of change is where we run into issues. Same with taking medications, same with driving accidents, or if people get confused on where they're supposed to go, even though they've driven to that same place repeatedly for years. So it's those big changes and those big patterns of changes, one-offs here and there. You know, we can be aware of them, but they aren't always a major concern.
Is there, I mean, there's this ad you see a zillion times on cable TV for Prevagen. Is there natural things? Is there, you know, anything out there that could make it less likely that you have dementia or that it progresses, you know, maybe a little slower with some either medicine or natural treatments at all?
So I'll answer that question and then I'll tell you some things we can do. The supplements that they talk about, if it's something that's not regulated by the FDA, then we don't really have the good quality research to say if it works or it doesn't. So I really don't have an answer for that because I don't have good research to say it works or it doesn't work. So if someone does have significant changes, there are medications that we have really good research to say, here's how they work. And we know they do what we expect them to do. But there are lots of things that we can all do to help keep our brains healthy. And if we're at risk for dementia, it can help to mitigate that risk. Anything that your doctor tells you is heart healthy, like your heart healthy diet and your heart healthy exercise, it helps keep your brain healthy because your brain needs a lot of energy and there are a lot of blood vessels in your brain. And those clog up just like they do in the rest of the body. So heart health is an important piece. Good quality sleep is really good for our brains. So if anything's getting in the way of sleep, we want to treat it. Spending time with people we like is really good for our brains because we're meant to be social. So interacting with people is very healthy, and keeping our brains active, just like we do strength training for our muscles. We want to keep our brain active with activities we enjoy and activities that give us a bit of a challenge as far as thinking skills. Those are things I share with my patients all the time because it helps all of us.
Yeah, really interesting conversation. Dr. Marie Schaaf, neuropsychologist at Sanford Health, adjunct professor of psychiatry at the University of North Dakota School of Medicine. Thank you so much for the expertise today. We didn't even get to all the questions. We'll have a future conversation, but enjoyed it today. Thank you, Dr. Schaaf.
Thank you so much.
Is there some lutefisk in your future? The king of lutefisk, Carol Juvin, next.
Have you noticed my bumper theme this morning?
Well, you had the Allman Brothers going earlier.
Yeah, I've been playing all Allman Brothers. Dickie Betts passed away, 80 years old. The king of the slide guitar, Southern rock god, yeah, Dickie Betts. He lost his battle with cancer, 80 years old. And little Allman Brothers.
This sounds like the blues. Would this be?
It is. Statesboro Blues, one of their biggest.
Yeah, love it. All right, back on What's on Your Mind, 11 before the top of the hour, brought to you by Pucklich Chevrolet GMC in Valley City and Pucklich in Bismarck. Guess what, folks? I love my truck. The GMC Sierra Duramax diesel. Great gas mileage. Holy buckets. Do I love seeing the gas mileage up there, 28, 29, 30 miles per gallon on the road. With the diesel, it's fantastic. And they have some 2023s that are still brand new waiting for you at Pucklich right now. I'm looking at sharp red one, white one. There's kind of a dark metallic. What do they call that? Titanium Rush metallic.
Nice.
Yeah. A lot of red ones. So check out the truck. Some 2023 still there. There's some great deals on those right now. PucklichValleyCity.com where you can shop. You can order up your own vehicle right there. You can check out the new ones, the pre-owned ones. They've got it all. You know what else I love about Pucklich? They're like the total watchdog on the vehicle. Like, Scott, you're getting close to an oil change. Send me a text. Want to come on in? You know? Scott, we noticed the tire, inflation's down a little bit there. It could be the cold weather, but it could be you need to bring that in. Time to rotate the tire, Scott. I love it. It's nice. Like super serving me. I love it. PucklichValleyCity.com. Tell them Scott sent you. Stop and see him on Main Avenue in Fargo. Jimmy Failla, tomorrow night, we have a text from a listener wondering if, it would be appropriate to bring their 15-year-old child to the event. What would you say to that, Kevin, for Jimmy's show?
I do believe we are PG-13 tomorrow night, so I think you'd be okay.
Some of his shows are not, but we have asked.
Yep. PG-13
version. Okay. Yep. So no issues with bringing a 50. That's what we're saying.
I think you'll be fine.
Got it.
Yep.
All right. And love to see you there. We have just a handful of tickets left, so. I wouldn't wait. We'll obviously sell tickets at the door tomorrow if there are tickets still available for the show. But all the details at am1100theflag.com, am1100theflag.com. The king of lutefisk, Carol Juvin of Juvin Tours and Travel for decades bringing folks to Norway is here to tell us about what they have planned for Sunday at the Sons of Norway Kringen Lodge in Fargo. Carol, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. Wonderful. So excited that we're going to have lutefisk served for lutefisk lovers. And believe me, we won't run out and you don't need a reservation. Sunday, the 21st of April at 10:30 through 1:30, we will be cooking and serving you the food of the gods.
Why do you call it the food of the gods?
Well, the food is for the gods. They had to eat too.
So you think they were big on lutefisk, huh?
Oh, they were huge. Unbelievable. And we've got some people that are equally as good on eating lutefisk.
The trolls?
Serve them.
The trolls, are they big on lutefisk?
The trolls will be right there watching so they get everybody gets plenty.
I love it. And there's lutefisk, and then there's your lutefisk. Describe how you prepare it.
First, of course, it has to be soaked, and it's prepared in Minneapolis, Minnesota by Olson Fish, the largest processor of lutefisk in the world, and it's shipped all over the world from Minneapolis. We get it for every dinner. We've had 8 of them, and we're going to do the same thing next year, starting in September. And it is prepared with poached in water with salt. And believe me, when 7 minutes are done, 8 minutes up she comes.
And then it's served. I've seen lutefisk before that's rubbery, and my wife made me try it, so I've had it before. But yours is flaky, right? It's more flaky. It's not rubbery.
Right. Always flaky. If it's rubbery, they cooked it too fast, number one. Number two, they didn't prepare the fish for the cooking beforehand with clear, cold water.
And if somebody's coming... you ice it all. It's really amazing. I mean, the fish have been flopping around and shipped to Minneapolis in days before you're eating it Sunday at the Norway Kringen Lodge in downtown Fargo. And if you have a lutefisk lover in the family, but nobody else does, you got meatballs and other sides that they can have.
We have meatballs and all the trimming. Carl's lefse and all to go.
All right, folks, Sunday, 10:30 until 1:30 at the Sons of Norway. No reservations needed. Thank you, Carol.
Right.
Appreciate the update on the weekend. Hope you have a lot of folks there Sunday for
Thank
a lutefisk dinner. It should be fun. Take care.
Lutefisk lovers will be out on deck.
That's right.
Thank you.
Lutefisk lover nation headed for the Sons of Norway Sunday in Fargo. All right, friends, we're out of time for a Friday edition of the program. God bless you. Thank you for listening. We'll see you Monday, and we'll do it all over again. And don't forget Jimmy Failla tomorrow night.
See you at Failla.
Join us.